بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Today we will talk inshallah about the prayer in traveling or the traveler's prayer. And we have the first hadith with us, hadith number 131. Second brother there, yes.
Narrated Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam used to offer the Zuhr and Asr prayers together while he was traveling and on the move. And he also used to offer the Maghrib and Isha together. Bukhari.
This hadith of Abdullah ibn Abbas, may Allah be pleased with him, and with his father, is regarding the issue of joining prayers. And we know that we have five prayers per day. One of them cannot be joined to any, and that is Fajr. You have to pray it on time. And the rest can only be joined to the one next and adjacent to it, and that is you can join Dhuhr to Asr by postponing Dhuhr to be prayed at the Asr time, or by preceding Asr to join it with Dhuhr at the Dhuhr time. And likewise, you can do with Maghrib by postponing it and praying it at Isha time, or by preceding Isha and praying it with Maghrib at Maghrib time. One remark, a lot of the brothers and the translations unfortunately refer to the prayer that is before Asr as Zuhr, and it's not Zuhr, it is Dhuhr with a TH. And a lot of the Muslims unfortunately feel that it is easier to say Zuhr, Zuhr prayer. We don't have anything as Zuhr in Arabic. It's Dhuhr prayer. You have to take your tongue out, the, Dhuhr. And this is the Arabic way of doing it, and this is how it should be written. So that we would not change our religion, we would not change our pronunciation due to the fact that non-Arabs may find it difficult. No, they have to reach up, and we have to raise the bar. And unfortunately, a lot of the Muslims make the bar go down until you find that the prayer is called Namaz and the Salat on the Prophet is called Durood. And all of this is not related to Islam. Okay, in your native language, but you always try to change your native language when it comes to Islamic terminology. So it is Dhuhr prayer as we all know it. Scholars differed among them regarding combining the prayers. And some of them said it is only permissible to postpone a prayer. So it's only permissible to delay Dhuhr to be prayed with Asr. But you can't pray Asr alongside with Dhuhr. Why? Because they say that its time was not due yet. It's not due. So how do you pray it? When you postpone it, Dhuhr time was called, it's due. But I'm postponing it to pray it with Asr due to the Sunnah. But making Asr being prayed at the time of Dhuhr, it was not called for Asr yet. So how do you pray it? Likewise with Isha. You can pray Isha with Maghrib, but not Maghrib with Isha. And this is what some schools of thought had chosen. And it is wrong. How do we know that it is wrong? By the doing of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam in Hajj. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam prayed Dhuhr and Asr while he was in Arafah. And he made Asr prayer at the time of Dhuhr, which means that it is permissible to advance a prayer to be prayed with the first prayer. And likewise, it was reported in Tabuk that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam prayed Dhuhr and Asr, Maghrib and Isha, and he wasn't traveling. And why do we say this? Because some scholars even said that you're not allowed to combine prayers unless you are actually traveling, not reaching the destination. And the scholars said, no, this is not the authentic opinion, because the Prophet himself, alayhi salatu wasalam, prayed while he was in Tabuk residing. That means that he's not residing, that he wasn't traveling. He was at camp and he joined prayers together. So the most authentic opinion is that you may join prayers, whether in the first prayer or the second prayer's time. However, the sunnah, the most recommended is, if you're starting after the time of the first prayer, the sunnah is for you to pray the second prayer at the first time. Meaning, I'm in my town, I prayed dhuhr prayer, and I'm traveling after 5-10 minutes. I'm not in my actual town. I am in London, I'm in Tokyo, I'm in New York, not my original town. But I'm traveling after a while before Asr prayer. So the sunnah for me is to pray dhuhr and then pray Asr immediately. But if I set on my traveling before the adhan of dhuhr 1 hour, so should I stop at the time of dhuhr? No. I should delay the dhuhr until I pray it with Asr, and by that I would have gone a considerable amount of my traveling. Why did I correct my first statement when I said I'm in my home and I prayed dhuhr? Because scholars say that you're not entitled to combine while traveling until you leave the borders of your city. What is meant by that? We're all here living in Mumbai. I have a flight at 2:30. I pray dhuhr at 1 o'clock, and then I want to combine to it Asr prayer. Scholars say that this is not permissible. Why? They say, are you a traveler? So no, I'm going to be a traveler after a couple of hours. I said, as long as you're not a traveler and you did not leave the borders of your own hometown, you cannot combine and you cannot shorten. But if I am in Tokyo and I'm going to Singapore, none of them is my hometown. So I can do this? Yes, you can do that without any problem. Understood? Or there is a confusion? Understood. Alhamdulillah. طيب. So what is the most authentic ruling on combining? Scholars say that combining prayers is permissible during traveling. Now I, here in Mumbai, I'm a traveler. I combine prayers, though it is recommended for me to pray each prayer on time. But I have the justification, I have the excuse to pray Dhuhr and Asr together, Maghrib and Isha together. Even if I don't have any excuse for that, yes, because I am simply a traveler. And is combining prayers only limited to travelers? And the answer is no. It is also permissible for those who are not traveling. How is that? If they have a legitimate reason. If you got a legitimate reason, then you may combine, even if you're residing. Give an example. One, if it rains heavily, then the sunnah is to combine prayers. What do you mean by rain heavily? I mean the rain that would wet your clothes, not small sprinkles, but actual heavy rain that would wet your clothes and make the roads muddy. If you go to the masjid, it would be a lot of difficulty upon you to go again the following prayer. That is why when it rains heavily, if you're praying dhuhr, after you finish dhuhr, the imam calls for the iqama and prays asr as well. This is the sunnah. And if he prays maghrib, after Maghrib, he prays Isha as well. And of course, people who live in areas that snow hard and it's too cold and it's too difficult for them to attend, it is permissible for them as well to join and combine prayers. Other reasons? If you're ill, if someone is embedded in hospital after having an accident, so many casts, so many tubes in his body, the scholars say it is difficult for him to pray each prayer on time or to make wudu. In this case, make wudu once, pray dhuhr and pray asr afterwards because he's in need. A third excuse, if a person is undergoing a surgery and he knows that he would not wake up until the time of the second prayer is gone. I'll undergo a surgery at 2 o'clock p.m. I pray dhuhr And I know that I will not wake up until it's 9 o'clock p.m. at night. So I pray Dhuhr and I combine to it what? Asr. And when I wake up from that surgery, I'll pray Maghrib at the time of Isha, and I'll pray Isha as well. So these are the cases, or some of the cases, where it is permissible for a person to combine. And usually combining prayers is not something that happens every single day. It was reported that the Prophet ﷺ once in Medina prayed Dhuhr and Asr combined, and prayed Maghrib and Isha combined, narrated by Ibn Abbas. So they asked Ibn Abbas, why did he pray? He said he did not pray, or he did not combine prayers due to fear or travel. So then why did he combine? He said because he did not want to burden his ummah. Scholars say that the only reason was not mentioned was illness. So this might have been the cause, but the most authentic opinion is that this isn't the cause. The cause is, whenever there is a need, it is permissible for you to combine. And this happens once every blue moon, not every single day or every other day. For example, someone has an admission test that is being conducted by an international university, and it requires that he remains in his seat from, let's say, 2 o'clock, or at least, let's say, from 10 o'clock a.m. until 5 o'clock p.m. So this is about 7 hours. He is forced to miss Dhuhr prayer. So what to do? If he leaves, he's going to flunk the test. And this is once in a lifetime, maybe. So scholars say it is permissible for him to postpone and delay Dhuhr, to join it with Asr prayer, and he prays them at 5 o'clock. I hope that this is clear. We have a short break. Stay tuned, refresh, and inshallah, we'll be right back. Assalamu alaikum and welcome back. Hadith number 132 deals with shortening prayers. And of course, this is not done except when a person is traveling. And the brother would read the hadith for us, inshallah.
Narrated Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, I accompanied the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and he never offered more than 2 rakats during the journey. Abu Bakr, Umar, and Usman radiallahu anhum used to do the same. Bukhari.
This hadith is referring to praying and traveling. And of course, Ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma is not addressing people from Mars or from Venus. He's addressing Muslims who understand what he's saying. So when he says that the Prophet did never pray more than 2 rak'ahs while traveling, was he referring to Maghrib prayer? Definitely not. So we know that he's referring to the 4 rak'ahs that the Prophet used to shorten into 2. And this was the doing of Abu Bakr, Umar, and Uthman. May Allah be pleased with them all. And the most authentic opinion of scholars is that shortening prayer is highly recommended. Yet if a person decides to complete the prayer and pray 4 instead of 2, his prayer is valid, but he is wrong in what he's doing. Not only that, Aisha, may Allah be pleased with her, told us in the authentic hadith that when the prayers were originally mandated, they were how many? They were 2 rak'ahs. She said after a while, these 2 rak'ahs were increased into 4 while in residing, and they remained as they are while in traveling. So we know that a traveler's prayer should always be 2. However, scholars differed whether to limit the traveling into a certain number of days or not once a person reaches his destination. And that was what made some scholars say that if you intend to stay in your destination for 4 days or more, you have to complete your prayers. And this is a choice of Sheikh Ibn Baz, may Allah have mercy on his soul, and Sheikh Saleh Al-Fawzan, and a number of great scholars of Islam. Sheikh Ibn Taymiyyah, may Allah be pleased with him, and Sheikh Ibn Uthaymeen, and so is Sheikh Al-Albani, may Allah have mercy on all of their souls, said, no, there is no indication in the Quran nor in the Sunnah that you should limit the period of traveling into this number of days. And therefore, if a person is traveling, he is instructed to shorten his prayer indefinitely. Indefinitely, does this mean if I travel for 6 years or 7 years, I shorten my prayer? Scholars say, if you travel, yes. But watch out, because it is rarely found that a person is traveling for so long. Usually people travel to another city to work, to study, or on holiday. So those who are traveling for a holiday, they would never be considered as residing. They're jumping from one city to the other, sightseeing, etc., and going back. So they shorten prayer as long as they're traveling. Those who go for work, it depends how long they're staying there. If someone says that I've got a 5 weeks work trip, business trip, but I'll spending a week in Mumbai and another week in Chennai, another week in Delhi, etc., then this guy is considered to be traveling still. But if he says, no, I have an assignment for a year and it's in the same place, then this person prays and shortens his prayer until he settles. How do we know that he settles? He doesn't live in the hotel anymore. Now he's got himself an apartment, he furnished it, he has a car, he goes to work and comes back from work, he knows the times of prayer, he's settled down. This guy completes prayer. And likewise, a student who goes for 4 or 5 years to study, maybe the first 3-4 weeks, he shortens the prayers, but afterwards, once he settles down, he becomes like a resident and he should continue and complete his prayer. And can a person pray or shorten prayer while residing, as in combining prayers? No. Combining prayers can be in traveling and it can be when you're residing. But shortening prayers can never be except when you travel. Even if you're completely sick or ill or you have any excuse, you have to pray 4 rak'ahs. When you travel, the minute you exit the borders of your city on a traveling trip, in this case, you can shorten your prayers. Do you have any questions? Yes, brother.
My question is that an imam who's traveling and he's a guest in a mosque, so what is the ruling for him that when he's leading the people in prayer and he's a traveler, so should he shorten his prayers?
That's a good question. If a person who is traveling was instructed by the congregation to lead the prayer, and this happens with me a lot of the times, and I ask them and I urge them, please, one of you leads the prayer. No, 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 Sheikh, you lead the prayer. I tell them in advance that I will be shortening prayers, and they all know this, and in this case, it's okay. I pray shortened prayer. And it was reported that it is part of the Sunnah also to say, Atimmu salatakum fa inna qawmun safrun. When you say Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, the first thing you say, complete your prayer. You say this verbally, loudly, complete your prayer because we are people who are traveling. And then you say Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, so that people would not be confused and they would know what you want to do. Do you have any questions?
Sheikh, what happens if, supposing I'm traveling and before at Maghrib time, I feel like I'm going to offer my Maghrib and Isha at Isha time, which is Qasr. But by Isha time, I'm at my house. I reach my house. I reach my destination.
Okay.
So I'm not a traveler anymore. So now what happens with that Maghrib prayer? Do I do 3 and 2 or what should I do?
If you reach your house, meaning if you reach your hometown, it is a must that you pray complete prayers. I'll give you an example. I'm coming from Chennai to Mumbai. I live and I reside in Mumbai. This is my hometown. And on my way, it's Maghrib time. I don't want to pray it. So I decide to pray it when I reach Mumbai. If I reach Mumbai before Isha time, I must pray Maghrib immediately. If I pray it after Isha time, I will pray Maghrib and then pray Isha complete. And this would be combining by delaying the Maghrib prayer with the Isha. If, and I have this other option, which is I can pray Maghrib on my way and pray Isha shortened because I'm still traveling. And if I reach Mumbai, even if I reach it before Isha time or after Isha time, I don't have to do anything because I prayed on time. Now, remember that delaying the prayer is no problem when traveling, whether you reach your destination or not. What is important for you to know is the shortening of the prayer. Shortening of the prayer is not something that you can do unless you are traveling, and you cannot do it once you enter your own hometown. If you enter any other city, you can do it. So if I'm traveling between two different cities than my own hometown, I can shorten whether before or after I leave, and I can shorten before or after I arrive. Okay, yes, brother.
If suppose a man is a traveler and he's leading the prayer, and he's leading a 4-raka prayer, and after 2 rakas, he does the taslim. And can anyone, you know, join the prayer after this?
He's a traveler. The imam is a traveler, okay?
And he's leading 4-raka prayer. And after 2 rakas, he has to give the salam.
Okay.
Suppose anyone can join the jamaat. Suppose I enter the masjid, can I join the...
Are you a traveler?
No.
Yes, of course you can. See, it is permissible for a traveler to lead prayer with a residing person. So he's praying 2, and I'm the resident, I'll pray 4. Once he concludes his prayer from the 2 rakas, I'll stand and pray my 3rd and 4th.
He has given a taslim.
If he's given taslim, the prayer is over. I cannot join him. I can join someone who is making up his 3rd or 4th rak'ah. Yes, brother.
Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh.
Salam.
Suppose the imam is leading and he's a traveler, and after 2 rakat, someone else takes his place and he's a resident, and the imam says taslim, and someone else become the imam?
No. You cannot have 2 imams for the same prayer. This usually is asked when an imam, a regular imam, prays 4 rak'ahs, and at the 3rd or 4th rak'ah, he offers salam, and those who came in the 3rd or 4th rak'ah stand up to complete their 3 or 4 rak'ahs. Can one of them come ahead and lead those who came late with him? No, because when they joined one imam. And when he concluded his prayer, they should finish their prayers individually. I'm afraid that this is all the time we have. Until we meet next time, fi amanillah. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.